You're listening to Classical 95.9, WCRI Block Island, Exeter, the classical station.
Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project. And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments. From sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more, Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. And tonight, a pleasant evening is in store for all of us as we have our old friend back from Veterans Memorial Arts and Cultural Center in beautiful downtown Providence. Steve Hobble is here. He is the general manager and the all-around man in charge of everything that's great with Veterans Memorial Arts and Cultural Center. Welcome, Steve.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you back with us. We've done other shows together, and we thought it would be great to bring you back and get a little update about what's going on in Providence, and particularly all the things that have happened at the newly refurbished Arts and Cultural Center. Tell us a little bit about what's been going on.
Well, the first thing I want to let everyone know is the Veterans Memorial Auditorium, also known as the VMA Arts and Cultural Center. The word auditorium can be a little disconcerting when actually if you've never been to the theater, it's a beautiful 1928 proscenium theater. It seats 1,900 people. If you've never been to the building, we invite you to come on down and take a look. It was built at the same time as PPAC, the Providence Performing Arts Center. We're part of that family now. We're managed by the same company, Professional Facilities Management. The theater, unlike PPAC, was never built as a movie house. It was always built as a performing space. So mm-hmm. It was never a theater. It never had a projector. So it's a little bit different in PPAC, and it's a little less ornate. There's a lot less fabric in the building. So it has tremendous acoustics. It's one of the most acoustically pleasing buildings in New England.
And you mentioned if you haven't been there before to come down and see it, but also if you have been there before in the old days, you have to come back to see it because of all the changes and improvements. I think that's worth stating. I know growing up when I was there in the late 50s and early 60s, it deteriorated in the 1970s, and that's been all corrected now.
Yep, sure has. It's undergone several renovations over the years. I think most recently in the late 80s, early 90s, when all the seats were taken out and restored. Mm-hmm. So they're in perfect condition. We have 1,931 seats. They're the original seats that were put in the 1950s. They've all been restored. The theater is very comfortable now, and you should really come down and have a look.
And actually took out some seats to make it a little bit more comfortable, added a big row in the center of the theater when that all happened, and because it used to be about 2,100, something like that, 2,200 almost.
Right, it was 2,200 seats.
So it's become a little more creature comfortable.
A little better egress and ingress, a little easier to get in and out. There's a crossover aisle, which there had never been before, from house left to house right. So it's a little bit easier to navigate your way, a lot easier actually now to navigate your way down to your seat.
And an elevator added so that easy access to the upper levels?
Yep, we have a fully compliant ADA elevator for the lower level mm-hmm. and new restrooms down at the lower level, which are also ADA compliant. So there's a lot going on. We've got a lot planned going forward. We need to do some additional restorations on the second lobby level. And some restorations backstage, the dressing rooms, make it a little more comfortable for the performers as well.
Great. All right, let's get to the actual things that are going on there musically, particularly. We have, as most people would probably recognize, it's the home of the Rhode Island Philharmonic, and we'll talk about that a little bit later in the program. I guess the Festival Ballet is a regular tenant with things going on in there, the Providence Singers. So a lot of great cultural tenants, if you will, that do repeat performances there.
Yep. Besides the performances, we also have, as our office tenants now, we have the Rhode Island International Film Festival. and Opera Providence. So those are our two principal office tenants that are on the first floor of the building now.
Excellent. So that's a lot of things that can go on there. And tell us about some of the things that are coming up that we might want to be aware of.
Well, we've got the season continues with the Rhode Island Philharmonic. We have concerts coming up the end of this month, actually next week, and the following month. And in April, the Festival Ballet will be back with Cinderella. Okay. So we've got a lot of great things. We just had the Providence Singers in with, they did Mozart's Requiem, which was fantastic.
Great.
So that was a great concert. And we've got a lot coming up.
Excellent. You know, when we talk about music in general, everybody involved in the arts in one way or another has an interesting story of how they first got involved. I know when I first got involved in singing, that came about because my parents were singers, and that just led me into it. For you, I understand, as we talked off air, you were in California when you first started the love of classical music, right?
Yeah, well, I'd always had a sort of a background because of my neighbor growing up, Dr. John Kometz, who was a Renaissance music scholar. He's widely published. He's in the New Grove Dictionary. He gets sent all over the world to research manuscripts and stuff. So we grew up together. We're still very close friends. And John always pointed me in the direction of classical music. And so I started listening to it more and more intently. And I started getting into the historically informed performance, the period instrument orchestras and ensembles. And when I was living out in California, I used to keep a notepad and a pen in the glove compartment of my car. So as I was listening to the classical station while I was driving, and in Los Angeles, you spend a lot of time in traffic, so you're in the car a lot more than you should be. So you need something to eat, something to write with, and you can be there a long time. So, but anyway, I used to always jot down, if I heard something on the classical station, a piece of music that I wasn't too familiar with, I would reach over in the glove compartment, grab the pad, grab the pen, and I would jot it down as best I could with keeping my eyes on the road. And then when I got home, I would put it into a little database that I was building in the computer and finally take my notes and go down to the record store. One of the pieces that really struck me that I heard on the radio driving one night was Roger Norrington and the London Classical Players. It's a complete Beethoven set of all nine symphonies, and it also features the Egmont Overture. When I heard that on period instruments, it was the first time I heard Beethoven on period instruments, I almost had to pull over because it was just, it was like a revelation for me, and I've been a period instrument geek ever since.
All right, well, that sounds like it segues nicely into our first piece that we're going to listen to, which is just that. And it's a little bit lengthy, but we'll try to listen to it in its entirety and be back with more of Steve.
Thank you.
Steve, you mentioned a term called historically informed performance. Now, let's expand on that a little bit for people that might not be familiar with what you're talking about.
Right. Historically informed performance, it seeks to recreate the performance practices of the time of the composer, be it Beethoven, Bach, Vivaldi. It has a lot to do with the size of the ensemble, the composer's original metronome marks. The tunings is slightly different. It's not the A440 that it is today. And, of course, all the instruments are different. Some of them are authentic period instruments. Some of them are reproductions. But the ensembles will play on gut strings and on, you know, the timpanis are not the little foam mallets that you have today, but they're just big sticks.
Right.
So it's a quite different, a lot of valveless horns.
So in simple terms, it would be like you would not have an electric guitar playing.
Right, and you would not have a 9-foot Steinway Concert
right.
Grand Model D because
okay.
Beethoven, for instance, or Mozart never laid eyes on such an instrument.
Right.
So
right.
It's the music is performed and sounds as close as you can get without going back in time.
Sure.
To what the composer intended and what they had to work with at the time and what they actually heard.
Hmm. Okay, great. And you've had some run-ins with some people that like doing this, right?
Right. I have a little group of friends. Not a little group of friends, but they're actually musicologists, music scholars. And we get together once a year, and I'm the only one that doesn't have the PhD.
Well, we'll call you Dr. Steve today.
I'm the outsider, and we get together once a year for just a gathering, usually at one of the professor's house. Last year we were in Providence, mm-hmm. and it's called the Naughty Boys, and they're the Naughty Boys of Musicology. And it's Dr. Kometz, Dr. Polk, Dr. Coelho, Dr. Petey, Dr. Kirkman, and, of course, Joshua Rifkin, who you might know from the Bach Ensemble and his work in Scott Joplin. And he's been won a Grammy for the B minor mass, the Bach B minor mass.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been a groundbreaking scholar in early music.
And we have a recording, and I see you, when you brought the recording in for me, it's even autographed.
It is. Gathering, I think 2 years ago at Professor Polk's house, Joshua came by. We might have had a bourbon or two. I don't remember. But Joshua enthralled everyone with some Scott Joplin on the piano at Dr. Polk's house, and I got him to sign a CD for me because it's one of my favorites.
All right. We'll listen to this piece. And again, it's a little bit lengthy, so we'll have to just listen to a portion of this Bach piece. We'll be back after that with more of Steve and his life in the world of music.
People at Roberts Musical Instruments know there are many folks out there who, like them, are passionate about music. They know because they are musicians. They teach, listen, repair instruments, and take the time to learn who their customers are. So when you step into Roberts Musical Instruments at Quaker Valley Plaza in West Warwick, you can expect to receive the very best in service and selection. Whether it be a piece of sheet music, a name brand instrument, a rental, a lesson, the right accessory, or an on-site repair, when it comes to all matters of music, you should tune into Roberts Musical Instruments.
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations, and while we were on commercial break, Steve realized he left out one of the important players in his last list of people. Tell us.
We almost forgot Dr. Graham Boone.
Dr. Graham Boone. All right, so that's good to get that name in there. You don't want to leave anybody out.
No, I'll never hear the end of it.
All right. And what's next on our list of interesting music that you have for us?
Well, Roger Norrington, of course, did that great... It was really a groundbreaking recording with the London Classical Players and the Schutz Choir of London of the full nine Beethoven symphonies. It really caused quite a stir when it came out, but one of the things people might not be aware of is he also did an unbelievably fantastic recording of with the London Classical Players of the Magic Flute, Mozart's Magic Flute, the entire opera, with soloists, again with the Schutz Choir of London, London Classical Players. And it's just a fantastic recording. And when you hear this, the Overture to the Magic Flute, it's probably going to be a little faster than what you're used to.
Hmm.
And again, this is part of the effort to follow the composer's intentions.
All right. So we'll listen to the faster version now, and we'll come back with more in a moment.
Thank you.
Steve, when you were on the show last time, we talked a lot about the theater and all the improvements and some of the upcoming events, but there's one of the things we did not talk about was VMAF. Tell us what that is.
That is the Veterans Memorial Auditorium Foundation. It's a 501c3. It's a foundation that was established to help the Veterans Memorial Auditorium, or VMA Arts and Cultural Center, with underwriting fine arts programming. At PFM, which is the company I work for, Professional Facilities Management, our task is more the commercial product. The VMAF will assist with direction and underwriting for fine arts programming. One of the orchestras that we've been talking to is the Orchestra of the Age of Enlightenment. We're trying to get, a lot of orchestras come over from Europe, from the UK.
And they do like a tour of the country. They might stop in Los Angeles or Dallas or whatever and
Right, exactly.
Great to get them here in Providence, right?
Right. So they're always looking for a stop. I can tell you from 30 years of touring, there's nothing more expensive than a day off.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got everybody sitting in a hotel room on payroll. You've got the equipment and the trucking and everything else is still has to be paid for. And on that day off, there is no income.
Right.
So when you're on tour, you like to keep working, come in, work as much as you can, and get back on the plane and go home. So
mm-hmm.
we're hoping that we might find some routing opportunities and bring one of these orchestras to Providence.
That would be great. Great to have that at VMA. All right. And what piece of music do we want to go to from that?
This is a selection from the Orchestra of the Age of Enlightenment. It's Johann Sebastian Bach and a selection from the Brandenburg Concertos.
Thank you.
The people at Roberts Musical Instruments know there are many folks out there who, like them, are passionate about music. They know because they are musicians. They teach, listen, repair instruments, and take the time to learn who their customers are. So when you step into Roberts Musical Instruments at Quaker Valley Plaza in West Warwick, you can expect to receive the very best in service and selection. Whether it be a piece of sheet music, a name brand instrument, a rental, a lesson, the right accessory, or an on-site repair, when it comes to all matters of music, you should tune into Roberts Musical Instruments.
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations, and we're having a very pleasant evening listening to beautiful music provided to us by Steve Hubble, who is the general manager of the VMA Arts and Cultural Center. And a lot of people know that as Veterans Memorial Auditorium, and we've kind of explained that part of the situation where it's beautiful theater and a place you definitely want to visit. And as a matter of fact, it's now tied in. Part of the whole complex has all been redone with the new Renaissance Hotel right next door, right?
Right. Yeah, we're connected by concrete to the beautiful Renaissance Providence Hotel. It was actually built as a complex. The hotel was the original. It was built by the Masonic Lodge of Providence, the Masons. They built it as a complex. They built the temple, and directly next door they built the auditorium as their performance space and a public performance space. The cornerstone was laid in 1927. The Great Depression hit. The funding dried up. They ran out of money, and the project was abandoned. As Mike well knows, the theater sat abandoned for a number of years, was picked up by the state, and finished in 1950.
At least the auditorium
part. Auditorium was, and the temple sat abandoned until three or 4 years ago when Sage Hospitalities and the Marriott Group came in and restored it into a beautiful, beautiful five-star hotel, the Renaissance Providence Hotel. So the nice thing about this is if you want to come up for a concert on a Saturday night or a Friday night or any night of the week, you can drive up, park, stay at the Renaissance Hotel, have dinner at Temple Restaurant downstairs, and walk over to the VMA for a terrific concert. You don't have to drive all weekend. It's really a comfortable situation, very convenient.
And when you say walk over, you're talking about 20 feet.
I'm talking 20 steps tops. We are connected. We don't have a common interior doorway, but that's going to be coming. But it's really just walking out of one door, going 15 steps, and walking into the auditorium.
Great.
And it's very convenient.
All right, let's get back to the music again that you've brought for us, because this is kind of your personal and private collection that you've been letting us listen to today.
Right.
Tell us what's next.
What we're going to listen to here is a disc of Vivaldi Glorias. It's a London CD with the St. John's and King's College Choir, track 22.
All right, here we go.
Thank you.
Well, Steve, I want to thank you for bringing your music to us tonight and giving us further explanation about VMA Arts and Cultural Center. And I would like to just give out website and phone number information. If people are interested in upcoming events, they can go to the website, correct?
Sure, that's www.vmari.com. It's as in Rhode Island.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy tickets there, get information. By phone, it's 401-421-ARTS, A-R-T-S.
And now with that phone number, you can do just about anything you like in Providence, because that's the same phone number
as the Providence Performing Arts Center, which is... We share a common box office and a common box office system. Our box office at the property at the VMA is open on the day of the event.
Right.
But you can buy 24/7 on the website. You can purchase 6 days a week on the phone. You can walk up at PPAC 6 days a week and purchase your tickets for just the face value of the ticket with no extra charges.
That's a great addition, because in the past it was always a little bit difficult. Now with the wonderful box office facilities and the great people there, you can get all the information you'd like, and it makes it much easier. That's great. As far as the Rhode Island Philharmonic and other things coming up, tell us about that.
Our next performance with the Rhode Island Philharmonic is March 26th. That's a Friday night for the Rush Hour concert, which is a great opportunity for people that don't quite have the time for a full evening's performance. You can come to the Rush Hour. It's early. It's at 6:30 p.m. And then Saturday night is the full classical program at 8 p.m. at the VMA. And it's the Philharmonic. They'll be performing Rossini, Schubert, Handel, and Genestera.
Excellent. All right. And we've got one more piece of music. And tell us about that before we have to run.
Well, with the Philharmonic coming in, doing a piece of, they're planning on doing the Water Music Suite with Handel in this next performance. And, of course, they're on modern instruments, and I've brought my period instrument performance. This is a Lavalier recording with the Academy of Ancient Music and Christopher Hogwood, and a selection from the music for the Royal Fireworks, Water Music.
Excellent. Steve, thanks once again for coming in. And we'll have to do this again real soon.
Thank you so much for having me, Mike. Always a pleasure.
Good night, everyone. See you next week on Conducting Conversations.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.